Let's start. Do any of you remember the Casper, the friendly ghost? How many of you remember that? Any of you seen this first appearance? First time when it showed up. If you say yes, you just date yourself really bad because it was first shown in 1939. Yeah, that's why. You can say he's an old-timer. As his name indicates, Casper is a ghost and is quite friendly and personable in the comics and books and the movies that he appeared. Though Casper might have a cute nickname, Friendly Ghost, but in reality, all the ghosts are the demons in disguise. All the ghosts are demons in disguise who are directly working for the Satan. In most cases, the image of demons which we come across from the books and comics and the movies are not so scary. They are rather funny and friendly and silly. This is exactly how Satan wants you to believe about demons and Satan. And somehow they're trying to portray the Satan as equal powerful spiritual being as God. They don't want the people, especially Christian believers, to think that they are a threat to their lives. Because they don't want them to truly being identified and what kinds of havoc they cause behind the sin. The devil and his demons are real, folks. Though we cannot see them with our physical eyes, that doesn't make them any less real. Right now, even as we are studying this particular subject, there are horrendous and ferocious spiritual battles raging all around us, all around the globe, and against the holy angels and against these demonic beings. They are both powerful and active. Last Sunday, we examined the purpose and the works of God's angels. If you believe that God is real and his angels are real, you better believe that Satan is real and his demons are real. And their objectives are very clear. They know exactly what they're doing. That's what Jesus said in verse 10 of chapter 10 in John. Go there, please. Our memory verse, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Note those three words, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have, that is, believers, have a life, and they may have it more abundantly. This is what the devil and his demon wants to do to you. They want to steal your joy in the Lord and to kill your testimony of Jesus Christ and to destroy your faith in your Savior. Let's stop and let's pray. Heavenly Father, spiritual battle is constantly raging around us. Our minds, our hearts are battleground, not playground. We realize that we are in the midst of battle. Father, let us be aware of our enemy's presence and their tactics, what they are willing to do and what they will do to us. But let us not be fearful of them, but let us put our trust in you, Father. Be strengthened by your presence in our lives. Father, we are asking your anointing to be upon us, that we may understand your word, and seeking your will and seeking your ways, and always giving you glory. Father, we pray for President Obama, that he may turn from the wicked ways that he may seek you and receive salvation from Jesus Christ and become a true follower of Jesus. And we pray for our troops, our law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. especially the one who attends our service. You be their backup, and you be their protector. We're lifting up our assistant pastor who is in the wildfire right now and asking you to protect them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, our God is omnipotent God, which means our God is all-powerful God. No one can stand against Him. Our God is omniscient God. He knows all things. Even the thought, the very thought you have, the thought you will have 20 years from now, He knows all that. There's not a secret hidden from His sight. And at the same time, He's omnipresent God, which means He is everywhere at the same time. However, demons and Satan are not. They are not any of this. And they are smart, but they have a limited knowledge. They are powerful, but their power is limited. And they have to be one place at a time, even though they can travel fast speed. So where did this Satan coming from? Did God create him as a horrendous, awful being, spiritual being from the beginning? No. According to the Bible, the formerly known Lucifer was once highly ranked and beautiful and powerful angel. But his beauty got into his head, and he fell from heaven. He wanted to be worshipped rather than worshiping God Almighty. Turn your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 28, please. Ezekiel 28, verse 15. God speaking to Satan, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you." Now go to Isaiah 14, please. Verse 12. Again, God speaking to the Lucifer, Satan. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning, and how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations." Verse 13. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of a congregation on the far side of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol," that's a grave in the Old Testament way to say, "to the lowest depths of the pit." That's how it started. Contrary to how Hollywood would like to portray about the massive power of the devil, he is no match to God. But he does have a very efficient and powerful demonic force that is extremely well organized according to the Bible. So go to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, please. It reads, "For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against," note the first one, principality. Another one is against the power. Third one is against the rulers of darkness of this age. And the last one is the spiritual host of the wickedness in the heavenly places. There are four ranks and files of spiritual beings, the demonic forces. Since the Bible is largely silent when it comes to the demonic organization, we will just keep it that way instead of going on to our own speculation. Speaking of speculation, there are wrong theologies regarding demonic beings, and people come up with their own thing. Rather than sticking with what we can learn from the Bible, many Christian Bible teachers and pastors come up with their own thing. Unbiblical teachings, unbiblical theologies regarding these demons. I find the three of them. I'll just bring it to you. Number one, territorial spirit theology. Territorial spirit theology. In 1986, a Christian novel, This Present Darkness. Some of you guys may read this book. It's a great book. Nothing wrong with its book. As a fiction. You hear me? As a fiction. Frank E. Parody wrote this book. It makes the people to be aware of a spiritual warfare. It's a great book, and when it was released for 150 consecutive weeks since the release, it was on the top seller list in the Christian Book Association. And it sold 2.5 million copies. If you haven't read, you should read it. It's very entertaining. It makes you help to understand what's happening behind the scene. But from this book's influence to the American Christian, some charismatic Bible teachers came up with a theology called territorial spirit theology that insists that demons demons get to have a certain geographical area in the world to rule over. Yes, they came up with a theology out of a fiction novel rather than Bible. That's a dangerous thing. You with me on that? If you are going to make a theology, get it out from the Bible in context, not your own mind. Second, false theology is a Christian demon possession theology. Have you ever heard that? Christian demon possession? In the New Testament, we read about the individual who possessed by the demons. Is it possible for a person to be possessed by the spiritual being? Yes. It is very possible. Thought of being possessed by demons scares snot out of many people, especially Christian believers, because they know what the demons can do. To make the matter worse, many biblically ignorant believers, somehow they start to believe some wacky theology by the wacky Bible teachers. And they said Christians also can be demon possessed. If you are not a born-again believer, you are pretty much a sitting duck with a bullseye on your forehead. You don't have God's protection on you. But if you are born-again believers of Jesus Christ, you are His property. God has no competitor. No one can snatch any believers of Jesus Christ out of His hand. You got to understand this. No one can take you out of God's hand forcefully. And you may say, oh, can you show me? Oh, I'll be more than happy. John chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus speaking, I give them, that is the believers, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's verse 28. And then he continues, my Father, that's God the Father, who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Did you hear that? No one can snatch them out of Jesus' hand. At the same time, no one can snatch them out of God the Father's hand. What does he say? What is he saying? Father and I are one. Yeah, exactly. Again, many charismatic denominational teachers claim that they've been casting out the demons from the believer's heart. And some of them even come up with their own this list of the names of these demons. There are a few of them that you might think that, well, that's possible, such as a demon of lust, a demon of deception. That's not laughable. I can agree with that. But I list the three of them here. It's quite comical. Demons of junk food. I think I'm struggling with that. And demon of gluttony. And then here's another one. Demon of excessive talking. I think some of the ladies are possessed by this. Ooh. Yes, I'm in trouble. Move on. And the demon of disco. Obviously, it was done in the 1970s or 80s. If you're possessed by this demon, probably you're going to have this strong desire to wear the white suit and with a black shirt and doing this often and singing Bee Gees songs. Yes, as a Christian, demons can tempt us, harass us, even oppress us. But demons cannot possess you. You know why? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit comes into your heart. Holy Spirit, who is the very God Himself, will not have a timeshare program with the demons in your heart. You with me on that? Either you are all for God, or you are not for Him at all. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, please. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. If you're in the more than chapter 4, chapter 5 in that John, you're in the wrong John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Second half of that. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It does not say he who is in you greater than he who is in the other side of your heart. Get that? It's outside, in the world. It's a Christian demon possession theology is garbage. There's a Chinese word for that. Ding dong poo. And some of you, the first comers thinking, oh, you must be Chinese. No, I'm not Chinese. I'm a Swedish. Does it mean that unbelievers can be possessed? Yes. The Bible has many examples of the demon possession, especially in the New Testament. If unbelievers, get this, guys, if unbelievers delve into the Dungeons and Dragon games or Ouija board or astrology, horoscope, Eastern philosophy and witchcraft, hypnosis, and ever so popular vampire stuff, and doing mind-controlling drugs like marijuana, cocaine, crack, or whatever, all of those are the gateway to the demonic possession to them. I'm going to go into the rabbit trail here regarding vampire movie. It's so popular. The reason is because they said it's such a romantic story. Folks, listen up. If you think a vampire movie is just a romantic thing, nothing more, nothing less, you are duped. How does the vampire survive? How do they survive? Drinking blood out of the human, right? According to Leviticus, according to Deuteronomy, there's a life in the blood. In other words, that vampire is taking the life out of somebody so he can survive. And the person who got bitten by the... This is all kinds of vampires. Nothing more than garbage. It's a hoax. But if, according to their theory, vampire bite a person and then that person become what? Vampire as well. That is a demonic possession. Do you know that? Have you ever thought about that? And you're thinking, oh, that's okay. It's so romantic. There's a Greek word for that too. Hogwash. Wake up, Christians. Don't buy the story from the that comes from the Hollywood. Honest goodness, there's nothing good come out of from the Hollywood. Especially spiritual things. Concerning the devil and the demons, there are two extremes we must not get into. Number one, we must avoid the tendency to see a demon behind every bush. Some believers think that there is a demons in everything they do wrong. Like when they sin against God. And they say it was because of demons. They come up with this phrase, the devil made me to do it. Wrong. Get a life. If you have a lustful thought of or the ungodly idea, it's not you're possessed by the demon of lust or demon of deception. It's your lust. It's your carnal desire. Just say, I accept my responsibility. It was my sin. People tend to put the blame on everyone else and everything else instead of accepting responsibility of their own sin. This kind of attitude leads to the people to the fanatic fear. By putting the blame on the demons for your sins, you are actually giving them the credit that does not belong to them. And the devil and his demons delight in this kind of thing. You know why? Because it fans their ego and their pride. Don't give them extra credit for it. Second thing that we should avoid is we must avoid treating existence of demons with unbelief and mockery. The devil and his demons are not figment of your imagination. They are absolute real. And the idea, this idea can lead people to the false sense of security. Some of you might be very uncomfortable because I'm talking about the demons, I'm talking about the devil. You've been living in a fantasy if you're thinking that there's no existence of devil or demons. You're living in a fantasy. Wake up, Christians. Third, wrong theology is binding and reviling demons. Now, this time go to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I also say to you, Jesus speaking, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades shall not prevail it. And I will give you, that is not just Peter, to all of us, the believers of Jesus Christ, keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, note that word, bind on earth, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Again, some charismatic denomination preachers and Bible teachers took this portion of scripture out of context. And they used the word, English word, bind and loose, literally. Instead of studying the original word, studying the custom of the Jewish people. And they said that they claimed that you can bind the demonic forces with your word of faith. And they cannot do anything. Once you bind them with your command in the name of Jesus, they cannot do any activities. And also you can lose their grip against your wealth and health, so you can have a wealth and health. Let me tell you what it really means. This is a very, very familiar meaning to the Jewish people who listen to Jewish rabbi, who often says binding and loosing, which means forbidding and permitting. In other words, the true meaning was lost in the translation. Are you with me on this? Yes? No? Are you awake? Okay. Jesus did not give his apostles and disciples the authority to make a binding decision regarding anything on earth that was not already been decreed in heaven. This should give them confidence in what they're doing. In other words, Jesus did not say that God would obey what you and I would say on earth. But rather, we should do on earth whatever God already had a plan in heaven. Church does not get the man's will done in heaven. Rather, it obeys God's will on earth. Now, this time go to Jude chapter 9, please. Verse 9. If you found chapter 9 in Jude, you're in the wrong book again. Yet the Michael the angel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." According to this account, Michael the archangel was sent to bury the Moses' body. And Satan himself intercepted and tried to claim the Moses' body as his. And they're arguing. And Michael the archangel did not fight against him. He did not rebuke him. He did not bind him with his own authority. Rather, he simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." He was battling in God's authority, not his own. If he does this, how shouldn't we do the same thing? Instead of coming up with our own theology, "I bind you in the name of Jesus," when we say that kind of thing to demons, demons standing next to us and they say, "Ooh, I'm so scared, my knee's knocking." He will laugh at us. Folks, don't do anything the Bible does not tell you to do. Some Christians get drunk on the doctrine of a believer's authority and they order demons like a lap dog and speak of them in comical and mocking terms. Don't do that. Follow Michael's example. Saying, "I bind you, demons, in the name of Jesus," or reviling them is nothing more than a waste of your time. If you have that much time, if you have that much energy, pray to God against that devil. Ask God to battle for you. You with me on that? I know this is a hard pill to swallow if you have a charismatic background. If you came from the church like Foursquare or the Assembly of God or Pentecostal, this is a very hard pill to swallow. It was for me. When I was a baby Christian, we attended Foursquare Church, we attended Assembly of God. And this is what we did. We did because the pastor did. We did because the elders did. And later I found that it's not in the Bible. What a spiritual awakening for me. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. Verse 1. By the way, before we go there, I got to say this. Remember in the book of Acts, I forgot which chapter. It says, seven brothers, seven sons of Sceva, declared to demon-possessed man, and they said to the demon, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. And the demon inside of that man respond, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" And demon jumped out of this. And the demon-possessed man jumped on these seven brothers, beat the snot out of them. See? With our own authority, if you don't have an authority that comes from Jesus Christ because you're a believer of Jesus Christ, if you're not a believer, you do not have that authority. Be careful how you use the authority of God. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly say that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Get that? And giving heed to the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. As this scripture said, in the last days demonic activity will increase in common places and intensify, as you can see in what's happening in the United States. The devil and his demons know that their number is almost up. Their days will be over. Their objective is to take as many people to hell with them as possible because they know it would hurt the heart of God. So do we need to be worried sick about the demonic activities around us? No. Please keep in mind that Jesus already has won the battle on the cross of the Calvary. He said that famous three words, "It is finished." With that word, he demolished demonic power. He demolished the power of death. And he resurrected. And we too have the power of the resurrection. Jesus set the captive free from the bondage of Satan and death. Colossians chapter 2, please. Verse 15. Having disarmed the principality and the powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. If you're born-again believers, you don't have to run around in fear of what devil is doing, going to do against you. Your eternal life is absolutely secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Instead of looking for the devil, seek for the Lord through the Word of God. Instead of looking for the identity of the Antichrist, seek Jesus Christ. Instead of looking for the adversary, the devil and his enemy, looking for the advocate. Jesus Christ is that advocate. Jesus Christ is that defense attorney. And he doesn't charge you. How about that? You don't have to pay $400 an hour. One more thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, please. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2 around the neighboring town, and he gave them a power to cast out demons and heal the sick. And they came back, and they were rejoicing. They were glad. They were having fun. And this is what Jesus said. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. The spirit, that is the demonic forces, spirits are subject to you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you're a born-again Christian, your names are written in heaven. Your eternal salvation is guaranteed as Holy Spirit is that deposit. But if you are not a born-again Christian, guess what? You don't have that guarantee. Your name is not written in heaven. And you may wonder, how can I have my name written in heaven? I'm going to give an opportunity in a short time. Let's come up with the 2 applications first. Number 1, the devil and his demons should not be ignored, but at the same time should not be fearful of them either, because our God can protect us and keep us safe. Second application, do not fall for the man's false theology regarding demons, or get into the time-wasting mysticism of the church. There are a lot of them. Spend your time to know Jesus, not Satan and his demons. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand up and pray.